All right, let's look at verse 1. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said unto me. I have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and grave-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood into this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I have taken, and whose ass have I have taken, and whom have I defrauded, whom I have oppressed, or who, of whose hand have I received any bribe, and to blind my eyes therewith? I will restore it, restore you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, not oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, when we live in such a way, and as an example, this man right here, Samuel, that he had no one that could point a finger at him. And Lord, and just what a legacy that this man left behind him. We're still talking about it today. I pray, Father, help us as we go through this message, that we individually, Lord, we look at our own legacy that we're going to leave behind for other generations. I pray, Father, help us with this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about leaving a godly legacy. Well, many people leave different types of legacies as they leave this world. I mean, a lot of times it goes like this. You mention somebody by name, and people go, they're known for this, they're known for that. They already, the thing is, when we depart from the scene, what people are going to say of us individually? That's something, you know, some people have formed an idea of you, but in average, when people look at you, what they're going to say of me or say of you when we depart from this world. So legacies, let's say, put it this way, don't happen overnight. You don't make a legacy overnight. That's not the way it works. Legacies are built in a lifetime. When a person leaves this world, the people look at that person as his lifetime. We see this what actually Samuel was saying here. So actually, legacies will go on long after you depart from this world. So it is the story of Samuel. Samuel was a man who left a godly legacy. You still go on to this very day. So think about Samuel. Samuel pretty much grew up in church. All right? We're seeing Hannah, his mother. She went to the temple. She couldn't have any children. And she prayed to the Lord. She was accused of being drunk. And she was not, but the high priest accused her of being drunk. Literally, she promised the Lord if she had a man child, that she would give that child back to the Lord. So that's what Hannah did when she took Samuel as a little boy to the temple, gave him to the high priest, and pretty much Samuel grew up in church. And all of his life that Samuel did, you actually don't see anything negative about this man. He was a godly man, and he actually challenged the people and say, if you have anything to point at me, say it now. Before the Lord, say it now. So as the question tonight is, what kind of legacy you and I building with the life that God have given us? I mean, think about it. I prepared this message. I'm thinking about my own legacy even before. So I have to go through this tonight before you folks came in about a legacy. What kind of legacy am I building myself? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind when you depart from this world? It has been said that the Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. And how you finish is more important than how you started. It is always great to get off to a good start, but how you finish is ultimately what defines you. So the runner who gets off to a good start, but then stumbles along the way, loses the race. But when you finish well, you gain the respect of the people around you. So Samuel's speech marks the final transaction, so to speak, from the period of the judges of Israel into kings. Of course, Saul is going to come as the first king of Israel. So Samuel is the best judge of Israel, and Saul is the first king of Israel. It is a changing of the guard, so to speak, And as the Samuel gives this farewell speech to the people, he gives us four actions or four steps that we can take in order to finish well. Let me ask you this. Do you want to finish well?
Amen.
I want to finish well. I want to finish serving my Savior. I want to finish living for my God. That's me. That I want to do that. So in my mind, I want to serve Him every day because one day might be my last day. So I'm continue serving Him. So when He takes me home, then I'll go home serving Him. So that's me. That's what the way I think. I want to be known for that. Man that served God until he died. Listen, folks, there's no retirement for Christians.
That's right.
Right, Robert? No retirement for Christians. We don't retire. The Lord might move you from one face to another. Let's put it like this. Okay, you might be a person that goes out on visitation all the time, and now your legs don't help you. So you can't do that anymore. So what do? You do something else. So it is different phases in the Christian life. But should never say, well, I mean, some Christians go like this. Oh, I used to do this, and I used to do that. And the question always goes, well, what are you doing now? Well, you know, you did good in the past, praise the Lord, you did it, but what are you doing now? The present is now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, is now. What are you doing now? So let's look at this from several points tonight about a godly legacy. And I hope this is our desire tonight. I know some of these topics come and makes us think sometimes, but to leave a godly legacy, not just for, you know, to the people in this world, even for our children, for our great-grandchildren that come after us, and our great-great-grandchildren, to say, oh, grandma or grandpa, they were godly people. They look at your life. They hear what people say, and they're like, wow. And they see that legacy that keeps marching on. So number one, we say, maintaining a good reputation with God and with man. How you get a godly legacy is maintaining a good reputation with God and man. So folks, reputation is not built overnight. Reputation is something that is built over time. But once the reputation is built, such reputation must be maintained. For an example, this week, I was working, of course, it was actually yesterday, I was working, and I approached one of the high-up supervisors, and of course, he knows who I am, and they always ask me why I never swear. Why do you never swear? Why do you never curse? It's like, it's not in my vocabulary. Why am I going to use it? So, but don't you get angry? I said, sometimes I get angry. I joke with them. Sometimes I get angry at you, but I keep the cool. But anyway, this guy, I was in front of his desk. I was asking for something, and he goes and he... Then he looks at me and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I was like, praise the Lord, and you notice that I don't swear. But I mean, he really apologized to me. That's a blessing to people that know that you mean business. Just your presence caused you to, I mean, praise the Lord for that. But anyway, it's maintaining this godly legacy. It's got to be a reputation between God and man. What I'm trying to say, maintaining this reputation is, all right, they know me, especially in the workplace, they know me that I don't swear. That's good. That's a reputation. I'm not then going to say, that guy, he never swears. That guy never does that. Like today, a guy said, I said to him, I said, listen, why don't you put your safety glasses on? And he goes, oh, you never use yours. I said, you point the time that I never use mine. Oh, I don't remember. That's good. That's good. So anyway, so how many people that we know have great reputation and in a moment they lost it? So folks, such a thing have happened to popular people as well to regular folks. I can give you a list of names of people who had good reputations among family members, co-workers, neighborhood folks, and even nationally who unfortunately didn't maintain that. They maintained their reputation and lost it in a moment. You know, sometimes it happens to many people. They're viewed by people as this, and in a moment they lost it. So our reputation, our legacy is built in a lifetime. It's something that we do consistently, and that's who we are. See, actually, the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus grew And he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and men. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. If you want to finish well, you need to maintain a good reputation with God and with man. Listen, what kind of reputation do you build with man? That you are a person of integrity and a person of character. See, you can build that reputation. For an example, put it like this. You go to the gas station tomorrow, okay? And let's say you go inside the gas station and you give, let's say, you don't have a card, you have cash, and you give the person, let's say, $20 for gas, all right? You give them that $20. And you say, I want to put fully $20 in my car of gas. And the person said, okay, you're about to move on. The person said, hey, I need the change for you. And the person gives you $10 back. All right? And what do you do right at that moment? Here goes your character and integrity right there. You can put it in your pocket and walk away, like some do. Or you can say, oh, I don't need change. You're making a mistake. I'll give you 20 for 20, to put 20 gallons of $20 of gas. You see that? An example, you go to the bank, you go cash your check. You go to the teller and you give him your check. Let's say your check is $500 and 30 cents. And let's say the man counts the money and gives to you $600 and 10 cents. And you count in the money, then you begin to sweat. And you count it again, and you begin to sweat. And you count it the third time, and you know by the third time you have $100 more. You have a decision to make right there. She already counted the money, and in her mind, she gave you the right amount, or he or she. See, that's when integrity and character comes about. See, you can show your integrity and character by walking away with the money in your pocket and begin to think what you can do with the money that you didn't have, or you can say, I'm sorry, you gave me too much money. You see, that's building character and integrity around man. And when we do that, we build reputation. People look at you, people see you and say, that's a person of trust. That's a person of integrity. See, so maintaining a good reputation with God and men. Letter A, be accountable to the people in your life. Look at verse, again, we read these verses, verse 1 to 3 right here. So Samuel, I'm not going to read these verses again. So Samuel made himself accountable to the people. Look what he says in verse 3, I believe. Look at verse 3. Behold, here I am, witness against me. Look what he says, witness against me before the Lord. He's saying to the people, okay, it's like me being here, saying to you, all of you, okay, you witness to me before God if I'm not truthful to you. Look what he says. He says, and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken? He's a question mark. And whose ass have I taken? And whom have I defrauded? And whom I have oppressed? Or of whose hand I have received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith, and I will restore it to you. You see, he's challenging the people. He's asking the people, you tell me if I've done these things to anybody. He's challenging the people. So Samuel made himself accountable to the people here. He had fulfilled their request for a king. He had completed his role as their leader. Now Samuel stands before them and made himself accountable to them. He said, you tell me. Listen, folks. In our world, we have to build this integrity and character. We either build ungodly character and ungodly integrity, or we build godly integrity and godly character. It is a choice that we make. So before man, how I act before man, how I treat people, how I behave with men, how I do my business with people, am I honest? Am I a person that can be trusted? You know, unfortunately, a lot of people out there cannot be trusted. Because as soon as they get a chance, they walk over you. So Samuel makes his life an open book here before the people, and he gives it anyone who wishes the opportunity to testify against him. So the people, the Apostle Paul does the similar thing in the New Testament when he gives his farewell speech to the elders of Ephesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 25. So it's not just Samuel saying this. Let's go to Paul here in Acts chapter 20, verse 25, and keep your fingers there in our text. Look what it says in the book of Acts. It says, and now behold, and verse 25, chapter 20, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I took you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also of you or of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the spear of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have covered no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shown you all things, how thou labor ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, is more blessed to give than to receive. You see what Paul is saying right here? He said right here, listen, I'm telling you, I'm testifying to you in verse 33, it says, I have covered no man's silver. It says, I didn't cover no man's money, no man's clothes. I work with my hands. You point at me. If you have anything to point at me, Samuel said the same thing. You see the godly character here, the godly integrity of these men. This is a man that said to these people, you point at me, you tell me. You see, that's how we build godly character. Let me put it this way. Samuel, he's pointing about his whole life. He grew up in church all of his life. In the end of his days, he tells the people, listen, if you have anything to point at me, you tell me now. You see, this legacy that we build, it builds in a lifetime. You see, when Samuel points that out, he points at his whole life. I said, in my whole life that I lived to this day, you point at me. See, folks, legacies are built in a lifetime. It's who we are and what we do. And Paul, the same thing, right? He says the same thing, right? You see, accountability is a big thing and a big deal. Accountability is a big deal and a big thing, and many people don't want to be accountable these days to anyone. How many husbands don't want to be accountable to their wives? How many wives don't want to be accountable to their husbands? There are many young men and young women don't want to be accountable to their parents. They simply want to do what they want to do, live there when they want to live, and do what they please. I talked with a guy at work today, a Christian man. I didn't realize he having some marriage problems. And I told him that we were celebrating 32 years of marriage. And he goes, oh, good for you to talk about. He goes to me, so how did you put up with your wife for 32 years? I look at him, I said, what are you talking about? I said, there's a lot of things. I told him one thing. I said, listen, here's one thing that you put up with the person. Commitment. That's the name of the game. Commitment. And he said, no, but what about when you have your own way? I said, it doesn't work. Well, he's talking about himself. I said, selfishness don't work in a marriage. But it's interesting. You see, legacies are built in a lifetime. And people today, they don't want to be accountable to nobody. Listen, if you get married and you're a husband, let me put it this way. You are accountable to your spouse. You're not one anymore. You are two coming one. If you're a wife, you're accountable to your husband. See, it's a tag team. It's not one. It's like, I do what I want, forget it. No, no. Good night. If I get out of work and I get home a little half an hour later, I already got a phone call. Where are you? Are you okay? Of course, because she knows my routine. And what you do, tell the truth. I'm at the gas station pumping gas. Oh, I went over to church. Oh, I did this, or I did that. So we have to be open book. Same thing with children. What are you doing? I don't know. Where you been? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Oh, I don't know. They don't want to be accountable to nobody. See, Now, are you working in leaving a godly legacy behind you? Are you accountable to the people in your life? Are you willing to let them speak unto you, unto your life, and correct you if it's necessary? Are you willing to put yourself on trial like Samuel puts him here? See, Samuel puts himself accountable to the people. He said, you point them, you tell me. Well, that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? When you say to people, let's say, I'm going to say to all of you, you tell me if you have any fingers to point at me. That's a dangerous place to be. Well, that is a very dangerous place to be. Imagine Brother Tom goes, you guys tell me if anything to point at. Oh, brother, somebody might say something, But Samuel right here, he just, boom, right up. Paul said the same thing. You see, Samuel put himself on trial in front of the people. He literally challenged them to point the finger at him. Let it be. Make it right with anyone you have wronged. Make it right. How you build a godly legacy? Make it right with anyone you have wronged. You know the hardest thing? Listen, folks. My Christian life is one thing that I know and I see it. The worst thing or the hard, not the worst thing, the hardest thing a person have a hard time with is that moment is forgiving. Is the thing? It's forgiving. Forgiving for many people is a very hard thing to do. But listen, that's part of the Christian life. Make it right with anyone who have wronged you. Samuel not only made himself accountable to the people, but he had done anyone wrong. He was willing to make it right. None of us is perfect, folks. And I don't think Samuel was perfect either. That's why we need to trust Jesus Christ for salvation. But unfortunately, you don't need to be perfect to maintain a good reputation, let me tell you. We keep a good reputation, but we're not infallible, so to speak. We make mistakes. But we honor our mistakes. If I make a mistake, I say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That's honorable. You know, when we make a mistake and we never live up to, that's not honorable. But if you say, you made a mistake or you did somebody wrong and realize you did wrong, it's honorable to go to that person and say, please forgive me, I made a mistake. You see, like I said, none of us is perfect. You just need to be willing to make things right when you make a mess. And when you make it right with people, they will notice and they will see how honest and a person of integrity and character you are. Jesus gave us the following instruction in the Sermon on the Mount concerning this. Look at this. It says, Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother had aught against thee. What did Jesus say? Leave there thy gift before the altar and go to thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. God goes a long way to say this. Have you wronged someone? We all have. Then go and make it right. Some do. Go and apologize. Some do. Go and ask for forgiveness. Some do as well. Go tell them to reconcile. You know, people say, they'll get over. Some people say that. We wrong somebody, and when we know we're in the wrong, we go, they get over. Look, that's the character that we exhibit right there. That's the type of integrity that we exhibit right there. But if we say, I have wrong, let me approach it. Let me get to that person. Let me just say to that person how wrong I was and ask forgiveness. If you have taken something that was not yours, then you need to give it back. And then some, like, follow Zacchaeus' example in the Gospel of Luke. The biblical word of this is restitution, returning what is not us and give it to who belongs to. Let us see how we build a godly legacy. Have a clear conscience with God and man. Have a clear conscience with God and man. Look what it says in verse 5. And he said unto them, the Lord is witness against you, and is anointed his witness this day, that he have not found aught in my hand. And they answer, he is witness. That the easiest way to live a life of joy and gratitude and peace is when we have a clear conscience, not only with those we love, but with also with people in general and with God. Let me tell you, when our conscience is clear, when we live such a God in a godly way with our consciousness clear, we're not holding grudges. We're not holding hate. We try to make peace with all men, living peace with all men. Be kind to everyone. In the end of the day, when you lay your hand on your pillow, you're going to sleep in peace. You are. You know, sometimes we don't sleep because our head is like a mess. We trying to sleep and our mind's going all night long. Sometimes it happens when you drink coffee before you go to bed. It does. But anyway, have a clear conscience. We have to have how we build a godly legacy. We have to have a clear conscience with God and with man. You see, how do we maintain a good reputation before God and man? Make yourselves accountable to the people in your life. Make sure that people around you are important. Make sure that people around you are people that you honor and you respect. People say, somebody said to me that one time, he said, you know, respect people the way you want them to respect you. Like, wow. If you wrong someone, make it right. And then thirdly, keep your conscience clear before God and man. It is one thing to call people as witness against you. It is another thing to call God as witness. People use, you only see the outside, but God sees the inside. So if we have a clear conscience and we see these things, when we talk about it, we know that we are being right with God. Because we are telling the truth. See, because it's easy for me to say something to you or you say something to me, but God sees the heart. God sees the heart. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. It says, wherein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards man? Wow. And again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, he says again, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as we know no cloak of covetousness, God is witness. When we have a clear conscience, we can say to people, this is this, and people say, you're lying. And you say, this is it, that's it. And you know you're being truthful because your conscience is clear before God. And that's what we have to do. It has been said that your true character is who you are and what you do when no one is watching. If you are going to maintain a godly reputation before God and man, you must keep your conscience clear before God and man. And that means confessing your sin to God daily and making things right with the people you have wronged. That is the first step to finish well. That is the first step to maintain a good reputation. That's the first step to build a godly legacy. And let me tell you, folks, again, you either building an ungodly legacy or you are building a godly legacy. What kind of legacy are you building? I don't know. But you know and God knows. But let me tell you, for us to build a legacy, it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. Maintain your God legacy. Number two, give testimony of God's goodness. I believe that all of us Christians have a testimony and many testimonies to the blessings of the Lord in our lives and in the lives of others around us. If we are sincere with ourselves, all of us will say that the Lord is good. I testify, the Lord is good. Is the Lord good?
Amen.
The Lord is good every single day, even when it rains. When it is so hot outside and humid, and people say, I can't stand this weather. God's still good, isn't he? God's still good. I praise the Lord every summer for the people that invented the air conditioner. It's a blessing, isn't it? Oh, goodness. The very fact that we are living is because of God's goodness and mercy of God. Now, how can we testify of God's goodness, of the goodness of the Lord to a world that needs him? So how we build this thing? Give testimony of God's goodness as we build a godly legacy. Letter A, tell others of God's goodness. Tell others. Look what it says in verse 6 and verse 7 of 1 Samuel. It says, and Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advented. I'm sorry. Look at verse 7. And therefore stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord. You see what he says right here? Which he did to you and to your fathers. You see right here, he's saying, let me share with you. Just stand still. Look what he says. May I reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. He said, stand still. Let me testify of God's goodness. You know, folks, sometimes that's what we do. How we build a godly legacy, we tell people, stand still Let me tell you of God's goodness. Let me tell you what God did for me in my life. Let me tell you what God is doing in my life. Let me tell you what God's doing in my church. Let me tell you what God is doing in the life of this person. See, stand still. You know what? The world needs to know that our God is a good God.
Amen.
They need to know. Listen. It is hot outside. Praise the Lord. It is raining outside. Praise the Lord. It is snowing outside. Praise the Lord. You know what? And when you can these words out, you know what people look at you and say, oh, wow, that's God's goodness. It's the seasons of the year, right? And Samuel right here says to the people, stand still. I'm going to tell you of the goodness of the Lord. Samuel was a man of God. He loved the Lord, and he reminded the children of Israel of what the Lord had done for them through the years. Folks have been, have been nothing but good. God have been nothing good to Israel. They continue to disobey and rebel, and the Lord continue and forgiving them and blessing them. If you look at the trace of the children of Israel from Egypt all the way to the promised land, it was disobedient, rebellious, all the way. And God was keep blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. You see, Samuel was faithful as a judge of Israel, but now he impressed upon them that God's been faithful to his people all along. And all that includes them as well as their fathers. And let me tell you, even today, God is good, and we ought to tell the people of God's goodness. We should. Look what it says in Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. See what it says right there? Make known his deeds among the people. Verse 2 says, sing unto him, sing psalm unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Who's going to listen to you? We got to tell people, stand still. Let me tell you what God is. Let me tell you what he can do. Let me tell you what he did for me. Let me tell you what he can do for you. That's the goodness of our God. Have God been good to you? If he has been good to you, then talk about to others what he has done for you. I think that sometimes that's what we need to tell people. Let me tell you what God has done for me. He can do the same for you. You have a testimony to share. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell others of the goodness of the Lord. God is good. God is good. Let it be. Tell the brethren of God's goodness. We see this from verse 8 all the way to verse 12. When Jacob came unto Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt. What he says right here from verse 8 to verse 12, he just literally elaborates and reminds them of the brethren, of course, the children of Israel, of God's goodness. So Samuel proceeded to give the people a history lesson here. He rehearses to them the cycle of sin, slavery, repentance, and deliverance, and that make it the people from the very beginning. So the people of Israel kept sinning against God, and God kept blessing them. And let me tell you, we can also tell the people around us, the brethren, about the goodness of the Lord. The Lord's been good to us. Look what the Lord's been doing to us. And that's why I say, listen, we started in a hotel. We had three people. I remember Cecilia was there with us. Praise the Lord. She was always a faithful one. And then we went to a storefront, and we came here. And through the years we've been here, 4 years, guess what? I was telling my group, Sunday night, I was telling them, listen, folks, our church per se in body is small, but how many people already came through here? Yeah. How many people were you already blessed? Hundreds of people. That's the goodness of God. The blessing. So we have to remind ourselves. We have to tell each other about the goodness of the Lord so we don't get discouraged, because God is good. Oh, folks, I'm here and I see the people come in, go out, come in. They come, visitors come in. That's the Lord's doing. But we have to remind ourselves, Samuel already does. He gives them an history lesson. And sometimes, you know what we need to do? We need to give an history lesson about the goodness of the Lord, not only in our lives, but among us, what he's doing among us. The things that he does. Why, you may ask? When we share the goodness of the Lord with the brother, we encourage them in the ways of the Lord. We encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Folks, we live in a very discouraging world. You agree with me? Very discouraging world that we live in. A world full of trouble and trials. Sometimes we see people laughing, people talking, but when you get to talk with people, you know there's always a load of trouble. I'm telling you, folks, there is always trouble. Every person, there's trouble in every heart. Somebody said to me, this week said to me, why you smile all the time? Hey, you know why, you want to know why I smile? I love Jesus, he's my Savior, and he's good to me.
Amen.
And they go, oh, it's always about Jesus. Of course it's all about Jesus. I'm a child, that's who I am. I'm a child of God. Of course I'm going to tell you of God's goodness. That's what you need too. You see, folks, we live in a very discouraging world, and each one of us need to hear those wonderful blessings from another brother to encourage ourselves in the things of the Lord. Sometimes we think, oh, where's God? And God's working in this life. God's working in this life and that life and that life. And when we speak out and say something, we encourage others. We encourage others. When you testify of God's goodness, you remind your brother that the Lord is alive and that he is sitting on his throne. You remind them that the Lord still works in the lives of his children. Look what it says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for your learning, that we through the patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. Folks, hope is a good thing to have, isn't it? Samuel reminds the people of the goodness of the Lord. He literally reminds them of all the good things that God has done for them. Let me tell you, folks, if we really sit down together and we begin to talk about what the Lord, the goodness of the Lord in our lives day after day, I think we can write several books.
Yep. Yep.
Is that just me? I think we can write several books about the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Every day what he does. Oh, goodness. God is good. And Samuel reminds them of this here. So number one, we see, maintain your good reputation with God and men. That's how we build a godly legacy. Number two, give a testimony of God's goodness. And number three, encourage people to follow God. Encourage people to follow God. That's how we keep build a godly legacy. To finish our journey well involves more than just giving testimony to God's goodness in the past. You must also urge people to follow God in the present, and there are two things you can do here. All right, we can encourage people to follow God in the present. Not just say, oh, I used to do this, I used to do that. Oh, that was in the good old days. Well, the good old days are gone.
Yeah.
You know, God is in today. God is always in the today. And we serve him today, not yesterday. Yesterday is gone. We serve him today. Okay. All right. So you at home. Let's say, for an example, you in a home, and let's say you have a kitchen full of dishes that needs to be washed today. And you go there and you wash everything. Nice, clean. And let's say you did that in my house. Okay. You wash all the dishes, and I put it away, everything nice and clean. And tomorrow I have another big pile, and I invite you over. and you look at it, it's like, oh, I did this yesterday. Well, that was yesterday. Yesterday is gone, right, Robert? Yesterday is gone. What about today? See, same thing with the Lord. Listen, don't just talk about the good old days, what we used to do. Now, what are we doing now? Well, I can't do this, I can't do that. You can do something else. You see, there are two things you can do here. Encourage the people to follow God. Number one, remind them of the consequences of disobedience. Look what it says in our text in verse 12. And when he saw that Nadab, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold, a king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. And verse 14 says, if ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both ye, and also the king that reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. In verse 15 says, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. So Samuel reminds them that they were wrong to ask for a king at this time. They should wait on the Lord to give him a king. Here the king, here is the king you ask, he said. But even though you were wrong to ask for a king, there's still something that Samuel didn't want them to forget. Because you have a king, it doesn't mean that all your problems will be gone. Actually, you have a moral obligation before your Lord to obey him. If you will fear the Lord, serve and obey him, and not rebel against the commandments, he will go well. It will go well for them. Notice that these instructions apply both to the people and the king. But if they disobey God and rebel against his command, God's hand will be against them. So Samuel reminds them of the blessings of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. Folks, it's the same thing today, right? If we live in obedience, God brings blessings. We live in disobedience. Guess what? We reap consequences. It's the same thing. We find the same thing in the New Testament. Go to Galatians chapter 6. I want you to see that. Keep your finger there in our text. I want you to see that. Because some people say, well, this is Old Testament. Well, let's go to the New. Let's see what God says in the New. See, we obey, God blesses us. We disobey, God brings, we bring consequences in ourselves. Look what it says. Be not deceived. Only don't deceive your mind. Don't deceive yourselves. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, what it says there, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall to the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the Bible is clear about this issue of obedience and disobedience. The Bible clearly teaches that we reap what we sow. So, you building a legacy, each one of us are building a legacy here, includes me. We either building an ungodly legacy, or we are building a godly legacy. So which legacy are you building? I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But if we're going to build a godly legacy, Samuel is trying to help him here. Samuel said, you are to obey the Lord. Just because you have a king doesn't mean that you don't have a sinful nature. Doesn't mean that you're not going to do wrong. He's not going to fix all your problems. Listen, just because you have a Bible, just because you have a Bible-believing church, good Bible-believing church, just because your preacher preaches the Bible, doesn't mean that you're not going to have any problems. The problems come to all of us. You see, it's how we resolve it and how we obey God and follow Him. Now consequences or disobedience and rebellion, the Lord always come in many different shapes, of course. Please listen. If sin wouldn't be so attractive, if the wages were paid, the wages would be paid to me. I'm sorry. This is good, but I've got to reread this to you. If sin wouldn't be so attractive, if the wages would be paid immediately. Oh, sorry. If sin wouldn't be so attractive, if wages would be paid immediately. But sometimes they don't come immediately. Sometimes when we sin, we continue in the same sin, and years later, we get the repercussions. Sometimes it happens that way. But sometimes we are fooled because it doesn't happen right away, immediately. And the more we do it, the more we think we can get away with it. Letter B, right there in outline about encourage people to follow the Lord. It's how we build a godly legacy is remind them to repent. Look what it says in verse 16 and 17. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. And it is not wheat harvest today. I will call on the Lord and he shall send thunder and rain that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. It is not you calling them to repentance, but God who calls them to repentance. We see this in verse 16 and 18, where Samuel continues to challenge the people. The harvest we took place in May and June there. This may be the dry season when it really rained at all. So for God to send thunder and rain at Samuel's command was clearly a sign of from heaven. Israel was stubborn and had never repented over asking God for a king. But God finally got their attention and broke through to them with this miraculous sign right here. We can be stubborn and sin can be rebellious in our heart too. God may not send thunder and rain like it did in that time, but he does. But he doesn't need to. He has already worked a great in our minds. But we need to repent of our sin if we want to build a godly legacy. I'm sorry. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin. Go to Acts chapter 17. Look at verse 30 and verse 31. Look what it says there. It says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in that which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained. Wherefore he had given assurance unto all men, and that he had raised him from the dead." Of course, he's talking about Jesus here. So Samuel called the people to repentance through the miracle of the thunder and rain. So God calls us to repent through the faith of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Samuel tells them exactly what sin they need to repent of, and the bodily Barley boldly tells them, "You see, we too sometimes need to be reminded of all the wrongs that we do before the Lord. And when we ask the Lord to forgive us, don't generalize your sin. Lord, forgive me. I sin against you today." That's generalizing. What about this? "Lord, forgive me. My eyes went to the wrong place today. I lied today to this person. I called this person these names." That's specifically talking to the Lord about the wrong that we have done. And we being genuine to God. We being honest and transparent with the Lord. Not just generalized. See, Samuel points them their sin. You wanted a king. God's going to give you a king, but you wanted a king. You don't want God to be your king anymore. You wanted a king. See, when we ask the Lord to forgive us as well, name your sin. That's why we should keep short. I always say to people, keep short accounts with the Lord. Because if you say, "Well, I ask him," then the day goes on, you go to sleep, and tomorrow you already forgot. And that sin is forgotten. It's like, you know, sometimes we are sinning, then 2 or 3 minutes later we realize, "I've done wrong. I've sinned against the Lord." Right there. Ask the Lord to forgive you. "Well, I don't think he's going to forgive me. Because, you know, listen, where's your faith?" We ask the Lord to forgive us, and faithfully we believe based on Scripture that he will forgive us. So how we build a godly legacy? Number one, maintain a good reputation with God and man. Number two, give a testimony of God's goodness. Number three, encourage people to follow God. And number four, don't give up on people. Don't give up on people. We see this from verse 19 to verse 25. It says, we are talking about finishing well our journey here to build a godly legacy. We're talking about leaving a godly legacy. But as you get older, we can't do all those things that physically we did at one time. Folks, in this journey of life, there are different phases that we go through. But in every phase of life, there is something that you and I can do. Sometimes when we get older, we can get discouraged because of the things we used to do. We can't do it anymore. But let me tell you, God can use you. Amen. In fact, I am convinced that when we get to heaven, we will see that one of the primary ways God advances his kingdom here on earth was through the faithful prayers of his people. That's something that all of us can do. "I cannot do this. I can't do this." You can pray. Pray for the workers. Pray for those who go out. Pray for your preacher. Pray for the Sunday school teachers. Pray for the pianists. Pray. You can pray. We all need prayer. All of us need prayer. Pray for the sunrooms. Like Satan sits in there all the time. Yep. We don't want Satan in this church. But anyway, pray. We can do that. So don't give up on people. Number one, letter A, accept with humility people's prayer requests. Look what it says in verse 19. This is great. Look at verse 19. "And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added all of our sins. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. So they're recognized right now because Samuel literally point out their sin. They recognize their sin, and now they ask somebody a prayer request. They go to Samuel and said, "Please, Samuel, I know that you are a man of God. I know you. You're right before the Lord. Pray for us." Let me tell you this, folks. Two things we can do when somebody asks for prayer. Somebody said, "Could you please pray for me for this?" If they ask you, they're humble enough to ask you.
Right.
That's a humble attitude, folks. For me to go to you and say, "Hey, brother, could you pray for me? I have this need in my life. Could you pray for me for this?" That's a humble attitude. First of all, don't forget that. And second of all, if you are a forgetful person, grab the person right there by your hand and pray right there.
Amen.
Some people say, "Oh, I was going to pray, but 2 days later, I forgot about it." Well, then, instead of forgetting about it, pray right there. That's done. You know what I do sometimes when I see you guys, you know, when we have the family instant message there on Facebook, I see these prayer requests. A lot of times I don't respond back, but you know what I do? I pray.
Amen.
Just pray right out. If the person took time to even to type those words, and if it's like me, you got to get glasses on to get to your phone because he can't see it. Anyway, you have humble enough to put your words there. Obviously, the person wants somebody to pray for them. It's a humble attitude. So what do? We pray. That's what Samuel does right here. These people, they recognize their sin. They recognize the man, and they said, "Pray for us." And Samuel prays for them. Let me ask you this. When somebody asks you to pray, do you pray, or do you just put the little prayer hands on the thing? I love those little prayer hands. Listen, don't go and say, "Pastor, I would never put those prayer hands in." No, please don't do that. I'm just kidding with you. But I'm talking about, do you really pray? Goodness, I do it like this. Or either you pray right there, or don't forget. Let it be. Remind people of God's grace. Look at from verse 20 to verse 22. "And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it had pleased the Lord to make you his people." So remind the people of God's goodness. No, you have a brother or a sister fell into sin, and you remind them of their sin, and they ask the Lord to forgive us. They ask you to pray for it. But you know what? Remind them of God's goodness. God is good. Tell them how God is good. Sometimes, folks, that's what we need to tell people. God is good. God loves you. God cares about you. You know, we need to hear that sometimes. Do you ever been so beat up, discouraged, that somebody needs to come to you and say, "Hey, I love you," and it made you up your day? You ever been there? Sometimes that's what we need. You know, we have the problems of life, and it suppress us, and we just walk around with a load of trouble. And I said today, for an example, Patrick went to some type of a meeting about a job, because if you guys know, he lost his job. So he went to this interview. I texted him. I said, because I know how he is, I said, "I'm praying for you." Then in the bottom, I said, "I love you." Sometimes that's what we need to do. You know what? It means a world to people. It does. And sometimes that's what we need to do. You see, remind people of God's grace, of God's goodness. God is good. Tell people how good God is. Tell the unsaved people that God is good. Sometimes we don't mention God enough. We need to tell people God is good. You know, sometimes, hey, God loves you. The other day, we have a guy, this kid at my job. His name is Bob. Young kid. He's a rebel. He's mad at the world. Literally, he's mad at the world. Mad at everybody. He's always mad. So he's over there putting his pains out and spitting out those things. I look at him, I said, "Bob, God loves you." And he looks at me. I said, God loves you two times. Just got to tell. Sometimes that's what people need to hear. Stop this madness. God loves you. Let us see. Warn people of what sin can do. Look what it says here in the bottom of verse 25. Look what it says. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. See what he says there? In verse 25 of chapter 12, Samuel no longer leader of the people, but he still had a role to play here. His role was to mostly praying and teaching. Now he says right here, the consequences of sin. Sometimes we need to warn people what sin does in people's lives. You see somebody going this way, warn them. You know, sometimes they look at you and they blame you. But you know what? Your conscience, as long as your conscience is clear before God, that you try to help. He says, sometimes we need to remind people, listen, don't go that way. You're going to hurt yourself. You know, and if they hurt themselves, don't go tell them, I told you so. That's not what we do, but at least you warn them. Obviously, they're going to make their choices. And obviously, right here, we know that King Saul made his choice. So did the people made their choice. But Samuel warned them of what was going to happen. It says right here, but if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Listen, let's put it like this. Let's say you're looking at me and say, yeah, you're going the wrong way. You're doing this and doing that. You should stop. And I look at you and say, oh, thank you for the counseling. Thank you for the reminder. And I keep going the same way. What I'm going to reap? We need to warn people about sin. And sometimes you need to warn the adults, not just the kids. Because it's easy to tell the kids, hard to tell the adults, right? If we tell the adults something, sometimes they get mad at you and they don't want to talk to you anymore. So you never know how to approach them. Goodness. Some of them take it well, some of them don't. But let me tell you, Samuel didn't think that way. He just told them all. All right, I conclude with this. Samuel's farewell speech comes to an end here. Samuel is done not as a leader of the people, but he still has work to do. But let me tell you, the book of Ecclesiastes says this way, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I tell you what. In 2 Timothy 4:7, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And let me tell you, how you build a godly legacy, that's how we build a godly legacy. I hope that's what you want to do. So when you are gone home to be with the Lord, that somebody, when your name comes up, they see as an example of godliness towards. You say, wow, that was a godly person. That was a person that I can pattern myself after. Talking about people like the Apostle Paul, Samuel, many others. And let me tell you, I know saints of the Lord that departed from this world already. They left a godly legacy. People, godly people that love the Lord. And people who are approachable and loving people that you could talk. You could go to them and talk to them. They were there to help you. They were good people. There are people like that. I think that you say, well, but my legacy is not that good until now. We'll start today.
Amen.
Build a legacy starting today. Forget about yesterday. Build it today. Start. Isn't God says his mercies are new every morning? There you go. We ask forgiveness. Say, Lord, I want to build a godly legacy from this day on. You can do it. I can do it. All of us can do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the example of Samuel, Lord. What a challenge that he challenged his people here. And Lord, help us as your children. Help us to be people of integrity and character, godly integrity, godly character. Help us to build a legacy for our children, for our great-grandchildren, our great-great-great-grandchildren, Lord, that when our name be mentioned, they would say that was a person that loved Jesus. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name.